Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new Smart Firefighting miniseries created during the Phase 5 of the First Challenge, hosted at the Miskatonic Urban Training Center. The First Challenge focus is to produce marketable prototypes that demonstrate indoor localization tracking of first responders within 1 meter accuracy without any pre-deployed infrastructure. Many of you heard stories from Phase 4, and here in Phase 5, the challenges were increased by including multiple responders, longer durations, and longer distances. In these conversations, you will hear from many of the entrepreneurs, first responders, and team members involved that address these challenges and opportunities of X, Y, and Z axis tracking from multiple perspectives around scalability, usability, affordability, and more. This challenge is administered by the Indiana University Crisis Technology Innovation Lab and funded by the NIST Public Safety Communication Research PSCR Division. Also, consider putting the NIST 5x5 conference on your calendar, located in Chicago, June 25th to 27th, 2024. Enjoy this deep dive into first responder tracking technology, and please reach out with your thoughts. We are sitting here outside of the hospital in Miskatonic, Indiana, alongside Officer John Newcomer from Ellettsville Police Department. How you doing, John?
I am fantastic.
What has the past couple days been like? And, you know, from your perspective, from a law enforcement perspective, you know, what has been going on here?
So the last 2 days, we have been running scenarios in the hospital. Phase 4 was all single person tracking. Phase 5, they decided to up the game a little bit, and it's been multi-person tracking. So our scenario here at the hospital, myself and another officer have been going through clearing the building as if we're, you know, searching for an active shooter, trying to locate the shooter. And then we come back out the building and unify with two EMTs that were here yesterday. Then we escort them in as if we're in a rescue task force and go in and locate the victims and extricate them from the building. So it's more realistic than what we did last time. And Phase 4, it really makes the scenario much more difficult. Also makes the tracking much more difficult because now the teams have to track four people instead of just one. And it's been interesting to see the progression in the team since the last phase, because now we're down to six from what we were before. So the equipment has, some of it's gotten smaller on some of the teams, have gone a different route with their equipment. But I think everybody's having so far good success. It's one of the things we've noted, and I was fortunate enough to be on the technical review committee for all the teams prior to the Phase 5 challenge. They've all really focused on the firefighting aspect, the structural firefighting, which is great, but they've missed that piece of the other first responders, search and rescue, law enforcement, EMS, and the teams have learned a lot with this phase because they have found out some of their equipment isn't going to work for our environment. We have different needs than the fire department does. You know, the fire department's worried about, the heat resistance of the devices, you know, things of that nature. We're more interested in how accurate the equipment is, using it outdoors as well as indoors, because, you know, there may be situations where we're searching for a missing person or looking for a fugitive, and we're going to be outdoors. So some of the teams have found out that their devices are less accurate out in the open air than they are inside the building. So that's been kind of a unique twist on things.
And from a police and law enforcement perspective, I mean, all this tech is relevant to public safety, but from to go deep into all things police and law enforcement, indoor tracking, why is it something that is important to you as a police officer and incident commander? And, you know, what kind of, from where you see this tech now, like what kind of capability will this allow police officers, incident commanders on the scene to be able to do that they didn't have before?
Yeah, I think, you know, this challenge is obviously focused on large incidents, but we can use this technology on a daily basis. There's a lot of situations, small departments like mine, where there is one or two officers on duty. We may have to search a building and I may be the first one there. My partner shows up. It would be fantastic if he could pull it up on our mobile data terminal and see where I am in the building and know, you know, where to meet with me or maybe start searching from a different location. So on a daily use, it's great. Or if, you know, we're looking for somebody, somebody flees from us, and I'm out in the middle of the woods somewhere by myself, other officers arriving on the scene know exactly where I am if they can pull this technology up on their terminal. So the daily use, I can see us really, you know, taking it in and working with it. Obviously, from an incident command perspective, if we get into a large incident, structural collapse or active shooter situation where we have multiple officers, firefighters, EMS coming in, you know, incident command they have to make sense of all that chaos. And if they can pull it up on their command screens and see, you know, where fire trucks are coming in and police cars and, you know, units that are already in the building, it's going to expedite the rescue process, the saving of the lives. It's going to minimize injury to the first responders because we're not going to have any force on force injuries. Or, you know, if somebody does get injured and they're out of radio communication, if instant command can see that on their board, they know exactly where to send in a team to remove that injured firefighter or police officer or EMT.
All really helpful context. And I enjoyed just watching throughout the day the different competitors all have sort of, I think there's six of them, all kind of six different design philosophies. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to go into, not only the software and kind of how it all kind of works from a data perspective, but probably one of the biggest things is the sort of user interface and mm-hmm. the hardware integration to the first responder. And something that we talk a lot about is how to actually develop technology that will actually be used by public safety. And I don't know if we talk enough about working with law enforcement, but kind of from your experience here and just sort of in general to message to, you know, entrepreneurs developing, like what did you like and dislike about some of the form factors yesterday? And what should entrepreneurs and people be thinking about when it comes to designing technology for law enforcement?
I think this applies to law enforcement, fire, EMS. We need something that's small, very rugged, and something that's not going to get in the way of our other equipment, our movement. Some of the designs we've looked at are foot mounted or ankle mounted. They provide great tracking, but it makes it difficult if we're having to struggle. You know, something keeps sliding up and down my leg and I have to be readjusting that all the time. Or if I have something strapped on my foot and it's going to get caught if I'm crawling through, you know, the weeds or the bushes, or a firefighter is crawling through an open window, they don't want anything that's going to snag. Some of the devices have very short battery life, you know, 4 to 6 hours. You know, if we're working, you know, if I'm on shift, I'm expected to have this device on me the entire time. Well, that's an 8.5 hour shift. The battery's not going to make it through the shift. If we're on a large scale incident, you know, 12, 14, 16 hours, we need a battery that's going to have that longevity. So these are the things that they need to keep in mind when they're developing this tech. Is, you know, we are using it. If it's going to be employed to where we're comfortable using it, we're going to have to use it every day. It can't be one of those things we use once a year on a major incident. We have to use it on a regular basis, whether you're in fire or law enforcement or search and rescue or whatever. So it has to be something that we are comfortable with and is comfortable to use. You know, some of the designs were helmet mounted. Well, a lot of times we're not wearing helmets in law enforcement. There's very few situations where we're going to do that. So a helmet mounted device is not the answer for us. And for the firefighters, they don't need the extra weight on their helmet. The helmets we were wearing yesterday were super heavy and very uncomfortable. You know, if you're working a structure fire, your mind has to focus on your task, not the pain you're in from the device. So, but the teams have been very receptive when we give them the feedback that, you know, this is just not the answer. You know, their technology, you know, the tracking part is excellent, but the device they're using may not be the best. So, but like I said, we've had a chance to talk with all of them, and they've all admitted, you know, we've not really worked a lot with law enforcement. It's been focused on the firefighting aspect of it. So I think they're taking in our information. We had one of the teams over at Partners Card this morning, kind of looking at our mobile data terminal and how possibly they could integrate their software into what we already use. They've never seen it before. So it's great. A lot of them are getting exposure to some of our equipment and technology that we use on a regular basis. So it's been very helpful. And I think that's going to help them, you know, move forward and start asking those questions when they get back to, you know, the redesign or moving forward.
What else from a kind of a, you know, we talk a lot about fire service culture. I don't necessarily, and I always kind of would continue to be a forever learner and want to support all public safety, but the law enforcement culture. I mean, some nuances or some generalities or some stuff. I'd love to kind of hear your perspective on, as we want to encourage more entrepreneurs to be designing and thinking about law enforcement, what are some cultural nuances or some just, you know, dynamics that they should keep in mind? Of course, you mentioned the kind of the form factor of the stuff and small, and I think there are some commonalities with the fire service there, but what are some stuff unique to law enforcement and life as a police officer that, you know, that you could share with us?
Yeah, I think that's a good, you know, good question. I was a former firefighter and I understand that culture. I think this technology is coming out at the right time for the law enforcement sector, because 10 years ago, I don't think you would have a very successful chance at selling this type of technology, because you had an older generation, kind of my age, not used to using technology, not used to working with, you know, smartphones and computers and things of that nature. But the officers today, they're young, they've grown up with technology, Xboxes and PlayStations, they understand all that. You know, they're drone pilots, they understand using the remotes. So I think now is the perfect time to introduce this technology, because the culture we have and the generation we have in law enforcement right now, they are technology people. So I think this is perfect timing. Like I said, 10 years ago, this wouldn't fly, because you have, you know, a bunch of old crusty police officers that, like, yeah, you know, we've done it this way for 20 years and we don't need, you know, technology to help us do our job. It's changing now. We use so much technology in our job now, you know, with our mobile data terminals and our body cameras and our, you know, our taser devices, and, you know, a lot of our training is simulated, you know, so it's much easier for officers today to kind of take that in and use it. And I think if they can get this dialed in to, you know, to the right size device, something that's affordable, because, you know, departments just don't have the money that they used to, and the grants aren't there. So it's going to have to be something that the small or large department can adopt quickly and easily in a low cost, you know, fashion. I think if they can get this all dialed in, it's going to be something that you'll see on a regular basis.
Definitely have hope and belief that it will continue to go in that direction. And just kind of continue to go into the police dynamic and just your thoughts of, like, certain, like, not even indoor localization tracking, we've talked about that, but are there any other sort of emerging technology or trends that you see that and how they could be applied to your work as within law enforcement that excites you? Or do you see there's some sort of tech that could be further leveraged within law enforcement that isn't being used now that you think about that in any capacity?
This competition has done a lot to open my eyes to the technology. So I like I said, I'm an older guy. I didn't grow up with an Xbox. You know, I the technology sometimes scares me, but I'll try it because I want to learn. And I've learned a lot the past 6 months being involved in this challenge. I know today there are two or three companies out here with the augmented reality, with, you know, the headsets, and I got to demo one of those a little bit earlier this morning. That was really cool, because they, you know, I'm walking through the building with a phone, but, and they can see exactly where I'm going outside. They get the exact picture of what I'm seeing. I think that, you know, the augmented reality tied to the tracking with, and then tie in the drones, I think there's so much that can be used by all emergency services with what's being developed, you know, out here and tested out here. I'm really excited about it. You know, the, you know, strapping on the big headset with the big goggles, you know, that's kind of what I thought about with the virtual reality or the augmented reality. And I mean, they're getting it down to basically sunglass size lenses that you can put on. That has huge, I mean, one of the vendors were showing me that, you know, they can go through, and if I'm walking through the building and I see a suspicious package, I can hit a button, it marks it, shows it outside, and so they know there's a possible IED in that location. Or as we're going through, I'm seeing, you know, victims as I'm moving through a building, they see those outside, know exactly where they are. I mean, that's huge. we can't replace that because I can be clearing the rest of the building and they can start planning on how they're going to remove those victims or what they need to do about that IED or whatever the situation is. So I'm excited about it. I think there's just so much that's starting to emerge and proud and to be a part of this whole challenge because it's really been a great experience and an eye-opener for me on what's out there and what's coming for us to use.
Kudos and well said, John. I mean, I think this is very much it takes a village and maybe some of the work that we're developing and efforts we're working on right now might not be benefited in the next. We might not see the fruits of labor in 1 year, 5 years, but you know, hopefully we will. But it's all part of the larger picture. So thank you for that. And one other kind of question before we wrap up is, you were just talking about the being able to go through the scene and being able to mark and then this information coming back. But one thing that we're always just kind of concerned about is data overload and like, you know, our brains are only so big and this you know, cognitive overload is a real concern. What are your thoughts and what would you say to, you know, entrepreneurs trying to develop technologies in terms of like getting the right data at the right time and sort of from your perspective of like, you know, when you're in a scene, like, you know, you're focusing on the task at hand. You can't, like you said, be grabbing at your leg to, you know, fix the node or especially with like the data, you know, you need to be simple, clear, concise. What are your thoughts around that?
No, I think you just said it. It needs to be simple, clear, and concise, whether I'm the one taking it in as I move through the building or whether it's being displayed outside to the incident commander. You know, as the incident grows and more people move into the incident command post, we can start dividing up those tasks and you know, have different people monitoring different things. But at the beginning, you know, you've got one or two people that are going to be quickly overloaded by all the information that's coming to them on the radio, phone, you know, any tech that's being sent out from inside the scene. I think the key is people are just going to have to train with it. They're going to have to get comfortable with it. They're going to have to run scenarios, complex scenarios, so they get used to dealing with all that stimulus. You know, we do full-scale exercise on a regular basis, you know, where we throw, you know, victims and bombs and, you know, hurricanes and all that into the mix. And we have to do the same thing with the technology. We're going to have to train and exercise with it so we can get used to processing that information, get used to using all the different technology and incorporating it all into one you know, final destination, you know, whether the command post or if I'm the user inside. You know, the more I use it, the more comfortable I'll become with it and the easier it will be for me to understand, you know, that's great information, but not anything I need to worry about right now. I can keep moving on to the next task. So,
yeah, well said, John. Well, if I could give you a final mic drop opportunity to, you know, give any sort of quote, question, insight, you know, anything to, you know, kind of leave us with here, you know, for everyone listening here today.
Oh boy, that's a tough question or tough challenge. You know, I think the biggest thing is just, and I think we talked about this the last time, don't be afraid of the technology, embrace it. If you're not the guy on the department that is comfortable with it, there is somebody on your department that is. So let them run with it, let them try it, you know, let them demo some of the equipment. I think I'm amazed that we're fielding all this in the middle of Indiana, you know, and for those of you who don't know where we are, we're in the middle of nowhere, literally in the middle of nowhere. And we have teams from all over the world. And it just amazes me that we have this facility, Muscatatuck Urban Training Center, in our state and available to use. And IU and NIST and have brought it here. And I think it's the perfect place for this. And I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Me too, man. Well, it's good to be a piece of the puzzle. And it really is awesome to have your perspective from law enforcement and just want to thank, oh, you got a bee on you. There you go. As we're closing out, we are standing in the back of a police car right now and standing in front of the St. Francis Center Hospital in Muscatatuck and next to a decrepit ambulance that looks like it's seen better days. And behind that looks like some sort of shanty.
Apartment building, yeah,
and
I'm not sure.
There's fallen down, exploded trains. And I saw a subway station today.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. We have a flooded village.
Every corner you turn, it's like, yeah. Wait, what is that?
Like, we have our own embassy.
Yeah, there's an embassy. there's an embassy. It's remarkable. Well, John, it was a pleasure and honor, and thanks again for everything you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. What did you think? What did you learn? Hopefully something, right? Please reach out on social media with your thoughts on this episode and any other suggestions for future content. We look forward to capturing more important stories across public safety and are here at your service.